Good morning. Who have we got?
Hi, my name is Tamara Thompson. I'm an underwater archaeologist with Wisconsin Historical Society.
Oh, good, Tamara. We were just talking about you.
Hope all good things.
I hope they didn't pull you out of the water to do this show.
No, we got back to Madison last night and unpacked our vehicles. We had spent 6 days on the wreck, and it's been a pretty successful survey. So I was taking the morning off, but I'm happy to talk to you about it.
Well, good. What is the name of this ship? I wasn't sure of the pronunciation.
It's Australasia.
Oh, I was right.
Very good.
And this is, well, historically significant for a lot of reasons. Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, it was built in 1884, and at its time, it was the largest wooden bulk freighter ever built. So what happened, it was built by a gentleman named Captain James Davidson. He was a shipbuilder over in West Bay City, Michigan. And he was continuing to build in wood at a time when all of his contemporaries were switching over to steel or iron to make their vessels. And he was able to actually make the vessels out of wood and continue making them out of wood because he owned the forests and he owned the sawmills. And he could build them for a fraction of the cost of making a ship of metal. So I think it was about a tenth of the cost. And so he continued pushing technology and engineering in order to do this.
Wow, I wouldn't have guessed that. A tenth of the cost.
Yes.
Wow. And, of course, there were still, in the world today, there are still wooden ships hauling something somewhere on the planet. But for the Great Lakes, this was not particularly common.
Actually, this was sort of on the end again of when when the wooden ships were being built. Everyone was converting over to steel and iron, and Davidson he continued building these longer and longer ships. The Australasia is 282 feet in length.
Wow.
And Davidson actually continued building wooden ships into the 1890s. So and longer and bigger and using these advanced engineering techniques. What he did was he incorporated iron strapping into the design to give it longitudinal strength.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had hogging trusses to prevent the vessels from sagging in the middle and shifting under waves and load. And then he also had used an iron basket weave truss to be able to give the whole vessel support. Then another thing that he did that we see in the Australasia is that instead of having, you know, a keelson, the backbone of the ship going down the center, he did have that, but he had smaller floor keelsons that went on either side of the main keelson, which gave it larger carrying capacity for cargo. The Australasia carried iron ore and coal and grain, and actually at the time that she sank off Whitefish Dunes State Park, she was carrying coal.
Wow. What, and have you seen the ship on your dives so far?
Oh, absolutely. So right now the it's about 60 feet of the bow, which is exposed, and about 100 feet of the stern. The center section is covered with sand, but the sand shifts there, so we're hoping in years to come that will be exposed and we'll be able to get some more information from it.
How deep is it?
22 feet, so it's perfect for snorkelers or kayakers or divers to go and explore. A lot of times the water there is so clear that you can see it right from a boat. We had several visitors that came out on site with us that came to see us in kayaks, and they could see the divers working on the bottom, and they could see the whole shipwreck right from their boats.
Wow. It's that deep, and they can see it from the surface.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. The quagga mussels, although they're horrible invasives, they sure clean up the water.
Well, yeah, I guess it's there's a bright side to most everything. Have you been in the ship, or is that too dangerous?
There's no penetration into the ship. It's actually burned to the water line.
I see.
And has sunk. So it's like from the deck next level up is burned away, and then it's the rest of it is buried in sand. So there's no penetration. It's just looking down at sort of the flayed remains of the ship.
Mm-hmm. Any plans in the future to possibly go inside?
There is no penetration possibility, so all of that is burned away.
Okay.
So it's just the shell that you'll see down there.
Okay. What? How well does a wooden ship last? How well are they preserved after this one's been in the lake for how long now?
It sank in 1898, so it's been down over 100 years.
Yeah.
And it should last quite a while as long as we do our best to protect it. We're one of the causes of damage to shipwrecks is improper anchoring by divers or people just interested in the wreck. And so we're hoping by the end of the summer to have a safe mooring buoy installed on the site so that people can go and know where it is and go and visit it. It is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is the mussels themselves sort of, they have like a little tendril that buries into the wood, and that causes a little bit of damage to it. But in the shallow depths that it is, there just aren't as many mussels as we see in deeper parts of the lake.
Yeah. So people, just anybody, can they swim down there and take a look?
Absolutely. You can rent a boat from Whitefish Dunes and paddle right out to it. It'll be easier to find, of course, with GPS or with when the mooring buoy is out there. But you paddle from shore. It's about, I would guess, maybe 300 feet from shore.
Oh, good.
And, yes, it's relatively close, and go and take a look at it.
And at that depth, you wouldn't necessarily need equipment. A good free diver could take a look at it.
Or just snorkeling on the surface, you can see down and see the wreck. You can't get down and touch everything, but you could certainly be able to just see it right from the surface.
That's right, too, yeah. Fantastic. I got to take a break. Can you hang on?
Sure.
You're listening to Morning Magazine. We're going to take a pause for a quick update on the... And welcome back to Morning Magazine. This is Michael Klisch. We're talking to maritime archaeologist with the Wisconsin Historical Society, Tamara Thompson, about the exploration, I guess we could call it, of one of the last of the large wooden schooners on the Great Lakes, the Australasia. Did I say that right?
Yes, it's Australasia. No, it's actually a steamer.
A steamer. A wooden
mm-hmm.
steamer.
Yes.
Whew. What about the other ship? The I can't remember the name of it. They had two ships that were discovered.
There are remains of eight different shipwrecks, which are in Whitefish Bay. So just pieces and parts of them, but this is the only intact. Fully intact one that's there.
Mm-hmm.
Just over towards the Whitefish Bay boat ramp a few years ago, there was another one that was uncovered in the sand, which is, we believe, is the schooner Otter. But we have not done a survey of that, and it is now sanded in again.
What's with Whitefish Bay? How come so many ships go down?
Well, there are actually 750 known shipwrecks in the waters of Wisconsin bottomlands. And of those, only about 150 are known. So there's certainly potential to find a lot of other shipwrecks out there. And as the sands move and as the water clarity gets better, we're seeing more and more ships discovered every year.
Wow. Interesting. Must keep you pretty busy.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Tell us about the UWC grant.
The University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute has been funding our research at Wisconsin Historical Society in maritime archaeology since 1988. So our program was founded with the Abandoned Shipwreck Act of 1987. And so in 1988, our program started, and our job is to protect and preserve the maritime history of the state. So they've been a long-time partner with us in this research.
How's it working out?
really well.
Good.
They help us with boats, and they also help us with writing and field reports. We also have a series of markers around the state. We have 43 of them that are up, which are called Maritime Trails Signs. So you can find their locations on our website, maritimetrails.org. They also host their own, Sea Grant hosts their own version of website, which is called WisconsinShipwrecks.org, and it has in-depth histories of a lot of the different shipwrecks which we have worked on. We're constantly adding new histories and information that we've learned from the archaeological studies of these ships. A lot of times when these ships were built, there were no plans. You know, you think of ship plans when they're constructing ships as they do today. But there just were no plans, and a lot of these guys were immigrants into the U.S. They had, you know, learned the trade from their fathers and grandfathers, and they were bringing the tradition with them when they came to Wisconsin. And so they would build these ships, basically, a rule of thumb, you know, kind of, oh, it looks good there. And some of them, were very crudely built, and some of them were very professionally built. But the maritime trade was definitely a stepping stone for a lot of immigrants which came into our state.
Kind of the way they used to build houses in rural areas.
Yeah, for some of the scow schooners, it was one of the sayings was, if you can build a barn, you can build a scow schooner.
Well, I guess that makes sense on a certain level.
They were very, very boxy in their design, that type of ship.
So what do you do, maritime archaeologist, when you're not in the water, which around here is a limited time of year?
Yeah, well, we are in the field for 5 weeks of the summer straight. The other time we run a conservation lab, so any artifacts that do come out of the lake, it is illegal right now to remove artifacts from our state bottomlands. That was protected under the Abandoned Shipwreck Act of 1987. But prior to that, there were a lot of artifacts that were removed, and some of the early divers in the state have some of those artifacts in their garage. They're getting on. Maybe they're moving to a smaller house, and their wives are encouraging them to donate them places. So we run a conservation lab where we try to stabilize a lot of the artifacts that did come up and protect them for future generations. We also do a lot of grant writing. So our program is only about 10% funded by the state. The rest of the money has to come from private sources. So we need to do fundraising and then grant reporting and grant writing. We also do a lot of outreach programs. We speak statewide. We do about 35 presentations a year at different libraries and historical societies, museums, and other venues.
Sounds awfully interesting.
Well, thank you. I enjoy my job.
Yeah. Let's see if I can get one of our local museums to get you on board one of these times.
Well, we would love to come out and visit.
Yeah, that's great. So what's your schedule for the rest of the summer? You're going to be diving right through till it gets cold, I guess?
We have three different projects going on. We have next up, we have a survey of a very early self-unloader out of Milwaukee called the EMBA. It's in 165 feet of water, and so we're going to do what's called a phase two archaeological survey on it. So it's document everything you see in place and learn a little bit about the structure and the build of that particular vessel. After that, we have a group from Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. They're the people that do work with deep submersibles. They've done Titanic, and you may see them on National Geographic and that. And they're going to come out and film the more. Pardon?
Jacques Cousteau used to work out of there.
Possibly. And
You said Woods Hole, right?
Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, they're going to come and they're going to do some filming and camera testing on the Milwaukee Car Ferry, which is, again, just north of Milwaukee off of maybe the village of Shorewood there. After that, we go up to Kewaunee, and we have a survey there of a canaler, which is called the America. That should put us into September, and then we just kind of clean up things that fall on our plates. Very busy season.
Okay. Oh, sounds like a lot of fun, actually. You get paid for this, too?
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
It's a lot of work, but it's well worth it.
All right, I can understand
that. And we do try to have fun.
Why not? Tamara, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And let's keep in touch next thing you go on.
Thank you.
All right. Tamara Thompson, a maritime archaeologist with the State Historical Society, working with UW-Wisconsin Sea Grant on a couple of very interesting wrecks in the Big Lake. Stay tuned. We're going to break for the news and a few messages. We'll be back.